Chapter 6. End of a Picnic. On the following day, Bobby received another letter.
"It's all fixed," Badger wrote. "I bought 5 cars yesterday for £15 the lot. At the moment, they don't actually work, but we can fix them, I think. I thought of opening up a week on Monday, and I am relying on you being here, so don't let me down, will you? Yours ever, Badger."
Bobby told his father that he would be going up to town to take up the garage job. This did not please the vicar, who knew Badger Beeden. And then, on the Wednesday, Bobby received another letter. It was from the firm of Enriquez and Dallo in Buenos Aires, and it offered Bobby a job with a salary of £1,000 a year, an unbelievable amount of money. The young man thought he must be dreaming. The letter said that an ex-naval man was preferred for the job, and Bobby's name had been put forward. His acceptance had to be immediate, and Bobby must start for Buenos Aires within a week.
"Well, I'm damned," said Bobby. "Bobby! Sorry, Dad, I forgot you were there."
Mr. Jones cleared his throat.
"I should like to point out to you..."
Bobby felt he had to avoid a long speech from his father. He managed to do this by making a simple statement.
"Someone's offered me £1,000 a year."
The vicar remained open-mouthed. Then he said,
"£1,000? It's impossible."
Bobby was not hurt by his father's disbelief.
"They must be complete idiots," he agreed, smiling. "Who are these people?"
Bobby handed him the letter. The vicar peered at it suspiciously.
"Most remarkable."
"Madman," said Bobby.
"Ah, my boy," said the vicar. "It is, after all, a great thing to be an Englishman. Honesty, that's what we stand for. This South American firm realizes the value of a young man who is sure to be honest."
"But Dad," Bobby said, "there are a lot of Englishmen. Why me?"
"Your superior officer in the Navy may have recommended you."
"I suppose," said Bobby doubtfully.
"It doesn't matter anyway, as I can't take the job." "My dear boy, what do you mean?"
"Well, I've taken the job with Badger."
"Nonsense, my dear Bobby. This is serious. The garage project is a mad idea. You must give it up."
"I can't, sir. I've promised. I can't let Badger down. He's counting on me."
The vicar left the room in anger, and Bobby sat down to write to Enriquez and Dallo, refusing their offer. Later, on the golf course, he told Frankie about it.
"You would have had to go to South America?" she asked.
"Yes."
"Would you have liked that?"
"Yes, why not?"
Frankie sighed.
"Anyway," she said firmly, "I think you made the right decision."
"I couldn't let Badger down, could I?"
"No."
They walked on in silence.
"I'm going to London tomorrow," said Frankie.
"Tomorrow? Oh, and I was going to suggest a picnic."
"I'd have liked that. However, it's arranged. But we can meet in London. Will you be there soon?"
"On Monday. But, well, it's no good, is it?"
"What do you mean, no good?"
"I'll be working as a mechanic, and you will be with your town friends. I mean..."
"Bobby," said Frankie, "I suppose you're just as capable of coming to a cocktail party and getting drunk as any other of my friends."
Bobby shook his head.
"Frankie, you can't mix people from different social classes."
"I assure you," said Frankie, "that my friends are very mixed."
"You're pretending not to understand."
"You can bring Badger if you like. There's friendship for you."
"Look here, Frankie, it's no good, and you know it isn't. It's all right down here. There's not much to do, and I suppose I'm better than nothing to go around with. But I know I'm just a nobody."
They walked together in silence to the clubhouse.
"Well,"
said Frankie, holding out her hand,
Goodbye, my dear. It's been marvellous to have you to make use of while I've been down here. I'll see you again, perhaps, when I've nothing better to do.
Look, Frankie.
His words were drowned in the noise of the Bentley's engine, which Frankie had just started. She drove away with a wave of her hand.
Damn, said Bobby.
Perhaps he hadn't explained things very well, but what he had said was true. Perhaps, though, he shouldn't have put it into words. The next 3 days seemed very, very long. The vicar was silently disapproving of Bobby's decision to go and work for Badger, and on Saturday, Bobby could stand it no longer. He got Mrs. Roberts, the vicarage cook, to give him some sandwiches, and, buying a bottle of beer at the pub, he set off alone for a picnic. He had missed Frankie badly these last few days. Bobby walked a few miles, then, feeling tired and hungry, he stretched himself out on the ground and wondered whether he should eat his lunch first and go to sleep afterwards, or sleep first and eat afterwards. The decision was made for him because he fell asleep without noticing it. When he awoke, it was 3:30, so he ate his lunch hungrily. With a sigh of satisfaction, he unscrewed the bottle of beer. Unusually bitter beer, but refreshing. He lay back down, suddenly tired again. Sleep overcame him. Heavy, endless sleep.